Hey, Dad, and welcome to the Family Man Show. Glad you could join us today. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on the air. In fact, I started 2 weeks ago. I got halfway through the show, and I just stopped, and because I just didn't feel like continuing. It was not pleasant. I was not feeling very good. I hope you had a great Christmas with your family, and a great New Year's, and you're kind of back in the driver's seat, ready to tackle the new year, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'll tell you, I didn't start off the new year doing very good. We had a great Christmas, you know, everything went real smooth. Christmas morning was fun. We did a little traveling right before, went to my parents in central Indiana. Had fun with my brothers and sisters, and that's always fun, you know, you make fun of each other and eat a lot of food, and we went to Dave's Pizza, which is like the best pizza in the whole world. Not everybody loves it, but if you're from my hometown, Danville, Indiana, you love Dave's Pizza. And so we went there, and that was fun. And we had Christmas morning at our house. Christmas Eve, we thought we'd start like this new tradition. So we were my wife did some had some shopping that day, just a little bit, you know, running around to get ready for the couple days after Christmas. We were going to do some more traveling, and so we thought we'd start this new tradition by going to some restaurant for Christmas Eve dinner. We weren't going to, you know, spend a lot of money. We were going to do something, you know, local, something quick, and we got to the end of the day, right around dinner time, hadn't planned on that. We headed over to a local area, a town nearby, and everything was closed, so we ended up eating in this pizzeria bar and grill that was kind of dumpy. And my family, the whole family hated it except me. I thought it was great. You know, had a lot of atmosphere, felt like something out of a old truck driver movie. So we had Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, you know, the magic of Christmas morning, where all the Wilsons gather, you know, come down the stairs and open their presents and open their stockings, and that was a lot of fun. The big hit of the Christmas season was my son Ike, who's 12. He got a metal detector. I mean, a real metal detector, not one of those like I got when I was a kid that couldn't find quarters sitting on top of the carpet. Found a local guy who was a metal detector expert and salesman and workshop. He's been selling them for 30 or 40 years, and he sold me like an entry level metal detector that's awesome. I mean, you can even distinguish between nails and bottle caps and coins and jewelry. It's going to be a lot of fun. My son's already dreaming of, you know, getting Spanish doubloons out in our yard. My gift of the season was I got a new radio, or a new MP3 CD player for my RB. You know, it had a good Alpine stereo in it, but it was starting to skip. It was kind of doing some weird things because it's probably 20 years old. And so in this new MP3 age, and we thought, oh, it'd be great if we could hook up the, you know, an iPhone or something to it. So my wife got me a new Pioneer stereo, and it can hook anything into it. So I'm excited about that, even though I'm going to have to install it sometime, and I'm not so excited about that. Now, there are gobble wires in there. I've done it before. Excuse me, I just yawned. I should have a button that takes those yawns out, but I don't. And so it was kind of an RV Christmas. I also got my traditional new Rand McNally Road Atlas. The exciting thing about it is it's got all the Walmart entry. You know, it has all the Walmart stores in the country. So, you know, over the last several years, we've been checking them off as we've stayed at them. So I got to take, the real fun is taking the new one and taking my old Walmart Atlas, and I, you know, write all my notes in the new one. So I kind of look forward to that. After Christmas, we went over to my folks, or my wife's folks, and we had Christmas at her aunt's, or Christmas Day after we opened ours. We got up and made a couple hour trip down to Indianapolis, had Christmas Day there, or part of the day there. There's another yawn, what's the deal? And, you know, it's a boring show when the host is yawning. So we did that, and, we had a wedding and a day later and 2 days later, and we did some running, and we were gone for 3 or 4 days. Finally got home, and then we did New Year's Eve at our house. And by the time New Year's Eve came, I was like exhausted. I started getting, you know, this hacking cough deep in my chest, and the other kids were getting it. And by January 2nd, I'm like, I gotta have another few days. I cannot make it. I can't start the new year out because I got a lot of work to do in the new year. You know, I got some things I gotta rein back in. We've been getting lax, and I've been getting lax and leading my family spiritually. Because I need to do that. You know, I've been taking the easy road. And during Christmas, it's fun to take the easy road. Matter of fact, it's always fun to take the easy road. But I've learned that, and you've heard me share, that the easy road isn't always the best road. And usually it's not. So, I had a talk with my older boys the other day and got them going again in some areas that I wanted to see strengthened. And my middle boys, there's the third yawn. This is pathetic. My middle boys, I wrote out some things I'd like them to do, you know, in their Bible reading, and we've got a little plan in family devotions. We've always done family devotions in the morning, and it's, you know, we don't always hit. Sometimes we miss. We've missed a lot of weeks, actually. And I think we're going to start doing it in the evening. Because we kind of are all gathered anyway, so we're going to try something different and hope that works out. You know, whatever it is, you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you do it in the morning, in the evening. It doesn't matter. You know, God didn't say you had to have family devotions. But I want it to be important to my family. I want them to see that we gather as a family to seek God, to pray, to look into His Word. Our family devotions aren't very spiritual, you know, I don't even think half of them listen, but we pray and we may sing a song or two, but I want them to see that it's important to their dad, and I want them to enjoy it while they're enjoying their dad so that one day they'll be able to train their kids, because that's my real fear, is I'm not so fearful for my kids, because I feel like, and not that I've done an incredible job, I've done a lousy job probably, but, you know, they'll hear about God. They'll see it demonstrated. They'll see a trust in God. They're going to see all that. But I want them to be able to train their children, you know. And some of them, I don't know if they know what they believe, but they probably believe it because their dad believes it. I want them to believe it because it's true and because they believe it. And so they can pass it on to their children. So we're going to work on that. You know, and there's always a lot of work to do, isn't there? It just seems like my wife and I, the more we talk to people, the more we see that everybody's just struggling. You know, whether they're struggling in financially or they're struggling in their home, they're struggling in their marriage. And it seems like everybody's struggling in their marriage, including me, you know, because being married is hard. We've been married 21 years and, you know, you've heard me share the last couple of years have been hard just because lots of different things. But I continue to work, I continue to try to woo my wife. And you know, my wife and I had another one of those times where we were talking, and I don't always like the talking time. I want to just pretend like everything, can't we pretend that everything's good and okay and just move on? And my wife doesn't say it in so many words, but the word would be, no, we can't. She can't pretend that. She has to be right with her husband. And she hasn't felt right with her husband. In fact, we were sitting on the couch right after Christmas, and she was talking, and she, you know, said some hard things for me to hear. I needed to hear them. I chewed on them for a couple days, and I came back and said, you're right. Yeah, I am that way. But one of the things she said was, she just wants to share on a deep level. And I was intrigued this a couple weeks ago, because we had some people over, and we were talking, and we had some great conversation. You know, we were talking about, I thought, deep things. And I thought my wife would enjoy it, because it was deep. We were talking about theological things and, you know, spiritual things and things that involve family. And we were, you know, sharing these things and talking about these things. And afterwards, I said, did you enjoy the topic? She goes, yeah, but it wasn't really very deep. And I'm thinking, wasn't very deep? What do you mean by deep? But, you know, I've thought about that the comment that she said, because her idea of what is deep and my idea of what is deep, husband's ideas of what is deep and wife's ideas of what is a deep conversation is different. I think what my wife wants is not just to share on a topic, but she wants to share. She wants to share what she's feeling inside and how she's struggling and what really is going on the inside, not just some of these safe topics or some of these deep topics that I seem as deep. And so, you know, I can miss the boat just by sharing, thinking we're talking about something deep, and we haven't talked about anything deep in her eyes because we didn't talk about how it feels. And again, honestly, I get tired of talking about how it feels because it usually involves how she feels towards me, and it all isn't always warm and fuzzy. But I was struck as we talked. She said, you know, you haven't even done the couple things that I've asked you to do. And I was like, honey, I asked you, you know, a couple months ago. I can't remember what those things are. Would you share them with me? Now, she couldn't remember them either, so I kind of felt like I was off the hook. But I'm not off the hook because I need to find out. And I had to get out the book that we talked about, and I've started reading it again, looking at it again. And it's called, I can't remember the title. It's Cinderella Meets... Caveman, or Caveman versus her meets Cinderella, something like that. Just the differences in men and women. And one of the things that I know that I haven't been asking her, because I mentioned it, I said, well, one of the things it said is that I'm supposed to ask you, you know, what can I do to help you today? And she goes, yeah, that's not what it says. It says, what can I do to minister to you? And I'm thinking, so what's the difference? But there is a difference. And in fact, it says later that I'm not only supposed to ask her, you know, what can I do to minister to you today, but at the end of the day, I should be asking, so how did I do in ministering to your needs today? Maybe that sounds like semantics to us, or maybe it just sounds like the same things, but obviously to my wife, maybe to yours, it's not the same. Because as I've been reading another book, it's been a while since I've looked at it, but Discovering the Mind of a Woman by Ken Nair. And it talks about, that's that phrase that's used over and over again, about ministering to the spirit of your wife. And maybe that's that inner part, that part that's the, and I've got a kid coming in the door. Who's there? What do you need? Let me finish up and then I'll be up there, okay? Okay, you got to stop right now. Okay, hurry up and show me real quick. We're going to take just a little station break. We're not going to... I'm looking at my son. He got this toy for Christmas. What is this stuff called?
It's foam.
It's like foam wood?
Yeah.
And you put like nails in it? And you made like a nail holder?
Yeah.
Which kid are you?
Caleb.
How old are you, Caleb?
Five.
Did you get this for Christmas?
Yep.
Is this pretty cool?
Yep.
Did you make it with Ike?
Yep.
It looks awesome. Is it just a nail holder and a tool holder?
Yep.
Only, that's cool.
What is in there?
Well, I don't know what's in here. Stuff? Okay. You need to go out upstairs now, okay? Let me finish up and then I'll be up, okay? Okay. See ya. Okay, bye. Okay, he's leaving. Sorry about that. It was another one of those Christmas. And it's kind of cool. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of this foam stuff that looks like wood and you kind of cut it with a saw. Because we're right in the midst of a project upstairs, again, trying to minister to the needs of my wife. I know that she'd like our family room redone, kind of painted. It's not a huge redo, but it's turning into a huge redo. When we first moved here, it was paneling. We wallpapered over it, but my wife would like to paint it. So we pulled off all the paneling, and I was dreading to see what was under there, but it's drywall. But it's all dinged up, and so right now some guys are upstairs drywalling over it again. I had to change all the outlets yesterday, move them up a little bit so they didn't get in the way of the molding or the trim. And we're going to, finally, after 14 years, we're going to put a mantle on our fireplace so the stockings can be hung by the chimney with care. That's what they're doing upstairs. So my son's in the building mode. We were talking about wives, and we're talking about ministering to their needs. At least I think we were talking about ministering to needs. And so, you know, I've been thinking about that. And in fact, one of the things I knew she wanted to do was to share some things that she had been reading because she had brought them up. And sometimes, you know, in the busyness, I forget that she'll say something like, oh, I want to share something I've been reading out of what such and such book. And I go, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. But if I let a couple days go by, you know what that conveys? Gobs. it conveys that I really don't really care what she has to say, what she's been reading. So she pulled out a book that we were sitting on the bed and we were just talking, and it was good talking. Maybe she wouldn't say it was deep, but I felt like it was good conversation. And she pulled out the book and she said, "Hey, would you care if I read some things to you?" I said, "No, go ahead." And I'd like that. And she started reading, and I just listened. And I listened with my eyes. I listened intently. I asked questions. She'd say, "Oh, I know I'm boring you." And I'd say, "No, you're not. This is really good." And for about maybe an hour. And after we were done, I could tell that her spirit was ministered to. I mean, she just seemed like a different person. You know, she didn't feel guarding at all. She felt like she was open to me. And I thought, that's what ministering to it. There's no secret formula to what ministering is. But, you know, as I've talked to lots of husbands, and my wife's been talking to wives. In fact, she just talked to a wife last night who poured out her heart and poured out her heart. I think I've said that three times. Poured out her heart. That's the fourth time. About how she didn't feel cared for by her husband. That he had not been ministering to her heart. Maybe because he had been busy, because he looked at things differently, but he didn't let her talk, didn't let her share. And, you know, I know lots of people feel that way. Every guy I talk to, you know, as I share my story and how my marriage is going, they say, "Ah, oh, it's happening in my family too." And so I was re-looking at this book, you know, Discovering the Mind of a Husband. Discovering the Mind of a Wife. Something just fell off my desk. That's because this is a high-quality show. And it says, you know, that when husbands aren't meeting the needs of their wives, sometimes wives assume these type of, fall back on these kind of solutions. You know, they deal with it in different ways. If another kid is coming to my door right now, I might blow a gasket. And it's my son, Jedediah. If you want to just hang up now or click off this program, I totally understand. What do you need, Jedediah? Okay, you can go help him, okay? It's good being a dad, isn't it? Okay, so anyway, and so they assume different personalities. You know, some of them are the tough wives. You know, they just buck up and handle it. And sometimes I wish my wife could be that way, but she's not. And so he lists these five different ways that wives deal with having spirits not ministered by their husbands. And the first one is the no problems wife. You know, she's the one who kind of pretends that, you know, that she doesn't have any problems. That, you know, she just kind of leads her own life and kind of refuses to deal with it and, you know, kind of lives fairly normally. But the second one is the one that struck me, and it's the dying inside wife. It's the wife who feels like her world is collapsing in on her. And it says, you know, such rejection will severely wound this wife's spirit. And sometimes I wonder if I've done that to my wife, you know, because she's a weaker vessel. Remember, the Bible says that. And so, you know, she takes all this upon herself. It says, at some point, the dying inside wife discovers that not only is her husband disturbed about her emotional instability, but her friends are concerned about her as well. They're wondering how a husband can be so patient and tolerant with such trying circumstances, because this dying inside wife looks like she's dying inside. I can think of someone right now who, you know, she just looks like she's falling apart. And people start to look at her and go, "Oh, that poor husband, he's so good for putting up with her." And some would probably say that about me, you know. "Oh, his wife is just, you know, just, he can't do anything right, you know," and whatever. Maybe I made it sound like that here on this show, this program. You know, and the whole problem is the husband, not the wife, because he's put her in this predicament. He's put her in a position where her spirit doesn't feel ministered to. And you know what? I think I'm guilty because I've done that to my wife, because she's really just a reflection of me. You know, then some wives are the silent spiritual wives, where they, you know, kind of decide that, you know, that I've got to deal this with the way God would have me deal, and they deal with it, and they become the, they have this persona of being a spiritual giant. In fact, I got an email just maybe 2 weeks ago from a lady who was talking about one of the books I had written for homeschoolers. That's it talked to one of the principals about being real, and she was saying how, you know, she's not always encouraged to be real because everybody around her in her Christian circles encourages them to be not real. You know, they don't want to hear the real problems. They want to hear that everything's doing great. And she said when she was young, when she was just getting ready to be married, her fiancé, something happened. I think he freaked out, ran off with someone else, and she was left almost at the altar, and she was devastated. And she said all these good, well-meaning Christian people would say, oh, well, you're still young. It's a good thing that happened now, not later. She said she wanted to just punch him in the face. And she was at this woman's Bible study, and she was sharing that feeling. You know, she said, I was just so angry at all of you for just giving your trite little answers as though I wasn't able to go to Disney World. And she said, when the person I was going to spend my future with, he left me. And she said, I was just devastated inside, and you just heaped your insults and hurts on me, and it just crushed me. And she said, I felt like, you know, punching you. She said that. And she said, after she finished, it was just stunned silence. Nobody said anything. It was just quiet. And she knew she had overstepped her bounds. And she said she sat down and everybody was quiet and they just kind of went on. And tears were streaming down her face. And she said, then an older lady stood up and said, you know, if we would have more people sharing these things, we would have a revival. And she said, these tears were still streaming down her face. And she got up and she started to head out the door. And another older lady who was 60, 65, she grabbed the wife's hand and brought her back in. She said, you know, she goes, what you have shared is how I feel. And this was the lady who was a stalwart of the church. You know, she was the one who was, everybody looked at and thought, oh, what a great godly woman and what a great godly couple. And she said, you know, my husband, he forced me to be intimate with him before we were married. And this is, she said, you know, this is 45 years ago. She said, and we had a child, I got pregnant and the baby died. And she goes, I have hated my husband every single day since that time. You know, we've tried to adopt and weren't able to because of whatever things. And I just felt like God was, you know, heaping all this upon us. And she said, you know, I've resented my husband for this. And I've never told any of you this. This is 45 years. And this woman who looked like this spiritual giant, you know, the strong-willed one, you know, or not strong-willed, the silent spiritual wife. She's held it all in, and she was dying inside. And I think, how many of our wives might say the very same thing? Because we as husbands have not been ministering to the spirit of our wives. Or maybe we've let something go that was undone. You know, my wife was talking to a lady recently, and she was sharing something that her husband let down one of their children, you know, where he should have stepped up and been ministering to the son or daughter, and he didn't, and he ignored him, blew him off. And the wife said, I can't even see my husband in the same way since that time. I know, remember I shared it a couple years ago when all our issues, not issues, when things began to change. You know, my wife had a miscarriage, and I didn't handle it very well because it wasn't very convenient. And she said, and I have viewed you, Todd, through different eyes since then. You know, because I wasn't ministering to the needs of my wife. Okay, here's another way that some of the wives, they become the strong-willed wife, you know. Instead of, taking it meekly, she begins to become antagonistic. She may even tear down her husband, say things. Oh, you know, he never, you know, never did this. You always let me down, you know. And we think of this as the nagging wife, the terrible wife. How can she say these things? But really, she's a hurting wife. You know, if your wife is acting this way, it's because she's hurting, because you haven't ministered to the needs of her spirit. And maybe the fifth wife that he mentions is the I guess I'm not so bad off wife. You know, maybe she's the wife who, you know, her husband didn't commit adultery, he doesn't drink, run around with the guys. He's just, you know, doesn't minister to the needs of her spirit. And she thinks, you know, maybe it's not so bad off. I really have no reason to complain. She still feels lonely inside. She still feels like she's dying inside. But she tries to slough it off. You know, she can't slough it off. You know, the truth is, you know, I'm to be like Christ. you know, which anything less than that is, my wife's got her bad off, you know, and so I just continually am struck by the fact that this ain't easy, and that my wife needs me to minister to her spirit. Your wife needs you to minister to her spirit. So maybe that's the beginning of this year, you know, as we draw this show to a close. I cannot call this a show. I can't even call it an episode. I don't even know what I can call it. Maybe just us sitting here talking and being constantly interrupted by me yawning and my kids walking into my office. But, you know, maybe we begin this year by spending a few minutes after this is over and we think, okay, what about my wife? You know, is my wife the dying inside wife? Maybe she's dying inside because I'm not ministering to her spirit. Maybe my wife is the spiritual type. You know, she says, you know, she sounds like she's so spiritual, but maybe you know that things aren't as they should be. And that's because we're not meeting the needs of our wives. Maybe your wife is the, you know, the whatever, the strong-willed wife. Maybe she's antagonistic towards you. Maybe she says mean, hurtful things. Maybe she says them because you're not ministering to her needs. Or maybe she's the wife who just has decided, hey, it could be a lot worse. But you know what? Marriage is supposed to be better than a lot worse. It's supposed to be what everybody looks at. It's the mystery of the church. It's the mystery. When they look at our marriage, they should say, ah, that's what real church is like. Maybe that's why church is struggling so much. And really, that could be another episode. We could talk about that, you know, because it seems like everybody I'm talking to is dissatisfied with their church and what's going on there. It doesn't feel like those needs are being met. And maybe that's because we as husbands haven't given a very good picture of that mystery between Christ and his bride, because we haven't done a very good job with our bride. So, hey, Dad, I don't know what your New Year's resolution is. I don't know what you need to shore some things up. Maybe you need to, you know, get back in there and, you know, take the bull by the horns and say, hey, family, we need to have a little meeting and we need to get things back in order, because I love you so much and I want you to know how much God loves you. Maybe we as husbands need to quit belly aching about how our wives are acting and why they can't they get over it? And maybe we need to do some listening, real heartfelt listening, deep listening, not just on those subjects, but asking them, so what do you feel? What's going on down deep? How do you feel towards me? I mean, I hate those questions because I'm afraid they're going to tell me, and I don't always want to know. But tell you what, I'll keep working at ministering to the needs of my wife if you'll keep working at ministering to the needs of your wife, okay? You know, again, it's not easy. But hey, if you want it easy, you should have been single and had a sports car. Not an old married guy who has a bunch of kids in an old beat up van or minivan or a full size van or a 14 passenger rust bucket. Hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. You're spending your life on stuff that really matters. I continually run into people, hear stories of people who spent their life on things that did not matter. We talked a couple months ago when Steve Jobs died. Of his life. You know, my son's been reading the Steve Jobs biography because, you know, he likes biographies. He likes Steve Jobs. And he comes down almost daily stuff he's read and said, you know, this guy was a crumb. You know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but he blew it. He got so focused on himself, not just his products, himself, that he hurt everyone around him. He alienated everyone around him. And I don't know how the rest of the story is going to play out with his children, with his wife. But hey, I'm not going to make the same mistake. Don't you make the same mistake as well. So, hey Dad, I got to get upstairs, check on the needs of not only my wife but my kids and see how these guys are doing on my drywall. And I got some work ahead of me. Hope you have a great day. Hope you have a great week. And don't forget, you to Dad.